Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38 in your Bibles in the Old Testament. And then if you would, we'll start there. We'll mark that and then find Luke 21. Luke 21 in your Bibles this morning. As you're turning this morning, I want to make sure I remind you that the devotional is back there on the back table. And I was reminded this morning, the devil's been really attacking us and fighting us, and even with the devotional. So there's lots of good things in here that you want to get. Don't forget it. All right, make sure you take it, because I think everything we had tried to break down in the middle of it. And just make sure that you're there. The Lord fought us against a lot of things here going on lately. So let's be faithful. Stay the course. Stick it out. It's worth the fight. Amen. It's worth being after it. Amen. And with the junior camp and all the victories that we've seen, the devil doesn't want us to have victories. He wants to see us in defeat. And thank God that we're on the winning side. Amen. And I really want to talk to you a little bit about that today, that a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll take an attitude of defeatism. Especially when we get looking at the news and all the things that are going on around the world right now. And I don't know how many of you are watching the news closely, but you ought to pick up and watch the news when Israel and Iran start bombing each other. We're getting into Bible prophecy. We're getting into a place where we need to kind of turn on and turn it up and focus in on what God's doing as He begins to reignite things that he said that have always been in his word, and they're always true, and it's coming to pass. We just don't know exactly when. But you should have taken notice as well for another nation that we really don't see in Bible prophecy. Am I on the lapel now? Amen. I'm going to move this thing out of the way. All right. So again, Bible prophecy for all of us. I'll just say that when America gets into bombing Iran, it ought to pick up some more things, because Israel and Iran shooting back and forth at each other is not news. They've been doing that quite a bit, but at the level that Iran has been bombed by Israel, you ought to take notice that Israel's taking a stand and saying, you're not going any farther, you're not going to keep this up. But folks, if you just read a little bit, and even this morning more news is coming out, Iran, you know, we bombed Iran because of Israel, because we're aligned with them, all right? But Iran is not without allies either. And all the folks that we're going to read about in Ezekiel 38 are allies, and Russia has already begun to say that America has started another war, that we've started a war now that isn't going to go away. It's one that is, again, we've stepped into something that was two people that were having a dispute, but now we bombing Iran has escalated it, and others are going to get involved. They've called for the UN to step in and to put sanctions on the U.S. or to do something. And folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think the UN's going to do a whole lot. And so now we're in a place where people are going to start picking up sides. Now, when I grew up, I wasn't a pastor when I was born. I just want to tell you, and I grew up just like any other boy, and I fought all my cousins, and that was just practice for if anybody messed with our family. Because if they messed with us, then they didn't fight one of us. We had allies. We had this one boy, 16 years old, in fourth grade. You say, that can't be true. I'm telling you, it was true. I stepped on his shoe, and he told me he was going to get me out by the buses. And I said, man, this guy could pulverize me, you know? But I thought, he don't know that I got three cousins in this school. So when we were on the playground, they're all about my age. I said, listen, after school, this kid said he's going to get me. I said, I need all of you to hide up. And it was one of them northern schools with them brick steps that go up. And I said, all of you need to get up behind that step. And so I hid from Govan until all my people were in place. I said, hey, Govan, I'm over here. And Govan came down to get a piece of me. And then all four of us got a piece of Govan. One of them, all he did, I said, listen, you're the youngest. You don't need to punch. You're not going to hurt him. Take your backpack, empty it out, and when he comes over, jump off the step and pull it clean over his head, so he don't know what's coming. And listen, Govan never messed with me the rest of the year. You say, preacher, why do you tell us that story? I'm just telling you, you know, when people are threatened, what do? They go to their assurances. And you know what's happening in the world right now? We have stood where God tells us to stand as a nation. God tells us to stand with Israel. God promises the nations that stand with Israel will be what? Blessed. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, all this stuff, and maybe he's making the wrong move. Every time we take a stand with Israel, we're on the right side of the Bible and the Word of God. I'm not getting political this morning. I'm just telling you, biblically, if we stand with Israel, we're standing in the right place. So you need to measure everything from the Bible. And again, when you're looking at everything, you say, well, do you advocate that? I'm not advocating anything. I'm telling you, when it's time to take a stand with somebody, you ought to stand with the people that God tells you to stand with. And we are on the right side of this thing. Now, you say, well, what's going to happen? I'm just going to tell you. The Bible tells us eventually it's going to escalate. The title of the message today is simply this. Is this the beginning of the end? Is this the beginning of the end? I hope you're in Ezekiel chapter 38. We're going to pray and we're going to dive into it this morning. But I want to just say this. I missed somebody on the prayer list and I want to make sure that you mark it down before we pray. Miss Weeby had knee surgery as well and she came through it good. But want you to pray for her. She's going to be going through some of the same thing Mrs. Auchus is. A lot of pain and trying to get some PT in, some physical therapy. So let's pray for her as we go to the Word of God today. Dear God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for our church, Lord. So many folks have had surgery, have needs, Lord. We thank you that you've bound us together as a church. God, help us to pray for each other. Help us to pull together, Lord. Help us to see from the Scripture today that God, you knew all this was going to come to pass, Lord. And I know that as things worsen, as you come, Lord, we know that we have the victory. We're on the winning side. God, I pray that you just bless us now. Help me. Help me to just, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, if there's somebody here today that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, help them to be able to clearly hear the gospel and receive Christ as their Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ezekiel 38, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee again, and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Verse number 5, Persia, Ethiopia. By the way, Persia is Iran. Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer, Germany, and all his bands to the house of Togarmath. That's Turkey, of the north quarters, and all his bands and many people with them. Look at what he says in verse number 7. He's speaking to Israel and through the prophet Ezekiel. He says, "Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." Now, again, we don't have time to read the entire chapter today, but I want to begin and try to give you an overview. I wish you would read chapters 38 and 39 to get a good hold on what's going on in the world. Our prophecy in the beginning of prophecy today, or if I could say Friday, Saturday, the bombings of Iran and U.S. getting into bombing Iran is not the beginning of this story, but World War II is the setting. And because of World War II and all that happened, the war to end all world wars came to a place where at the end of that, there was a Jewish man who had done something and helped the British government, really, and the American government, win the war by teaching us how to make gunpowder out of something that no one ever had. When we didn't have anything else to go and we didn't have anything to blow anything up anymore and we had run out of all those resources, he took a wasted chemical that was waste and they threw away and made it go bang. And we were so thankful for him doing that. They said, what can we do for you? And he said, I want my people to have a place. My people, the Jewish people, don't have a place in anywhere in the world. And the British government took and gave Israel a piece of land in 1948. And because of the war to end all world wars, can I just tell you, that war was the beginning of all the big wars that are going to come. Because once they put Israel back on the map, now they were a big bullseye and a big target. And everybody on the outside of them is going to be shooting at them all the way until the biggest war, the Battle of Armageddon, happens. Now, we understand all that, but we see all the nations that are key players in this end times, all the ones that are going to gather against Israel. Now, you say, why are you preaching this, preacher? Because you ought to know. The Bible says to prepare and be prepared. And if you're a Christian, he's telling that to the Jews because they're the ones getting surrounded. You're an American that's siding with the Jews. So you ought to be prepared and understand what's going on. What nations are going to be next? If this is truly heading towards that, that what's going to be that war and everything that we know, if that's truly, this is the one, then what are we looking for? We'll look at the nations that are involved. We already have in verse 5, Persia, which is Iran. You know, they just changed their name from Persia in 1935. Now, I wasn't alive then, but some of you were. Anyway, no, so... But I mean, listen, I'm just telling you, some of us can remember, again, that being something that got changed in the history books and made its way over. Ethiopia, we know where that is. Libya, all these places. Germany, Gomer, Turkey, all these surrounding nations. But some you may not know. Gog and Magog. Those are, listen, Russia wasn't always, you know, the Soviet United States. Now what they call Russia and all these groups of people, he starts to name the big areas. He's going to name Meshach is Moscow. It's always been the chief prince city of the whole area. And he says Gog and Magog, and he's talking about that whole big area of Russia, and he even names Tubal. And he jumps in, and you say, well, what's Tubal? It's all these nations on the other side of the Black Sea. Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, all of them speaking a form of Russian or a diluted form of it. And all of them, again, in the end time, realizing they're getting hooks in their jaw. Can't get united behind anything. They're divided and pulled apart. But when it comes, push comes to shove, and now we got to line up with somebody, we can line up against little old Israel. And we're going to go down. And the Bible says, listen, if you think that, you know, President Trump is doing this on his own. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this was written in the Bible a long time ago. And the heart of the king is in God's hand. And whether he wants to or not, he will do God's bidding. Now, you say, are you against him? I'm not against President Trump. I'm for President Trump because he's standing with Israel. So don't get mixed up on where we're at. Just realize that you may not want Jesus to come tomorrow, but he may. According to the scripture here, we got all these, and we see all these different countries. So we're going to watch this thing, because what will happen is if this begins to progress, you'll start to see an alliance form from all of these nations with Iran and begin to back them. By the way, when we read this scripture, it doesn't add America in it, but it tells us here that after many days, and he talks about all these different groups that are there in verse number 3, be thou prepared and prepare for all thyself, thou and all the company that are with thee. So again, I'm just going to tell you, he's saying all of your alliances, all of those that are going to stand with you. Can I just lay out some Bible timeline for you? If you're here and you've just been saved, or you haven't read a lot of Bible and you don't understand what's going on in God's timeline is set up like this. We realize that according to the scripture, that now that Israel, according to verse 7 and 8, has come back to be a nation, now God's timeline, the time of Jacob's troubles, is going to start that process. It's coming on. So the nation of Israel had to become a nation again before they could be attacked or people could come down on them. So now they got a piece of land, and God has given us a space of grace, and we call this piece of it
the church age. So we are currently living in the time of the Gentiles, and we're at the end of it. And the next thing on the calendar that God has is sending his son to rapture his church. The next thing that will happen, almost simultaneously, as I would say millions of people are pulled out, saved people are pulled out of this earth and go to heaven, immediately famine will strike. Think about how many farmers are saved people. Because they see that they can't do that on their own. God has to do that. What happens when all the farmers are gone? How many people from downtown New York City are going to go get on a tractor and start making corn? How many people from all the cities around the world are going to go back out to the field and start farming all the things all the Christians are doing? How many things, listen, I'm just going to tell you how many places and people know how to produce their own food. The rapture itself will produce famine. We're on the cusp of it now. We are in America and we're full of a bunch of idiots. They burn, listen, do you realize that it takes, listen, they burn more corn to make biofuel. Listen, it costs more in diesel fuel. They burn more diesel harvesting the corn than they do, listen, than they do trying to make it, the gallon that they get out of that corn. Why? Because they're trying to save the world. They're not saving anything. It's backwards math. It's spending $2 to save one. You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because that's where we live. You know that corn feeds everything that we eat? You say, I don't eat that field corn. No, but you would if you didn't have nothing else. We come to the place where we just think the grocery store is always going to be stopped. That money's never going to stop. That our dollar can never bankrupt and go out and just bottom out to nothing. And all of you that are depending on gold and silver to back you up, try eating it. If I got a sandwich and you got gold, I'm not trading it. If I got a chicken and you got gold, I ain't trading it. Amen? Well, oil. I'll invest in oil. Okay, try drinking it. I'm just going to tell you, all the commodities that we think are really valuable, when everything ends, what's really going to be worth something? What's really going to be worth something? But listen, for all of you that are thinking about going home this afternoon and ordering all those meal kits and becoming a prepper, don't do that. Because if you're saved today, Jesus is going to call us to be with him. He's going to descend in a cloud and catch us away. Can I just tell you, that's the next thing on his timeline. And then because of all the ramifications of Christians leaving this planet, and the evil that has already begun with Israel becoming a nation and the bombings and wars and rumors of wars that will take place in the future, the Antichrist will step out on the scene and he'll say, you can't eat, I'll feed you. You say, well, how's he going to feed them if there's no food? Well, he's the Antichrist. What did Jesus do with 2 loaves and 3 fishes? I mean, just, you know, some little fishes, right? You say, the Antichrist won't have that power. Oh, he will. He'll have power to multiply things and to feed the world that nobody else has. That's why he'll be the Antichrist. That's why the entire world, including Israel, will make peace and join him. And they'll all come to that. Listen, so the church gets raptured out. The Antichrist comes on the scene and he makes everything better for a short time period while we're in heaven. And we call it the tribulation period. We mark it as 7 years long. We break it into 2 halves, 3.5 years that everything's honky-dory. Everybody's getting along with everybody. Seems like the millennial kingdom. The lion's not laying down with the lamb just yet, but it's almost there. But then he decides to set himself up in the temple. Listen, if you don't think that Israel's going to go along with this, when he sets himself up, he's going to tell them, let's build that temple. Let's get that thing erected. He's going to make peace to the place where they'll clear off that temple to Muhammad and they'll start construction on the temple. And it won't take them long. When all the world is putting their mind together, we get things like the Tower of Babel, where things can be worshipped. And you know where the Antichrist is going to want to be worshipped? In the temple that's dedicated to a holy God. And when that thing gets set up, listen, he's going to come and he's going to decide to lift himself up above. And everybody, listen, everybody in Israel is going to know that ain't Jesus. There's all of a sudden now he's going to turn his hooks and he's going to try to take over. Time of Jacob's troubles is going to get worse. The tribulation period is going to go from tribulation of famine and pestilence and all that. It's going to crank way up. And it's going to get way worse. Because now not only is all of nature going wild, but now man is going to go after Israel. And all this group of nations that we just read about in Ezekiel 38 are going to come down and pounce on them. And there's only one thing that could save them. There's only one person that could save them. And his name is Jesus. And you and I who have had a time of a bridal time, of a supper, judgment seat of Christ, receiving rewards. If we've done things for Christ in this life, Evan's going to open up and we're going to saddle up. We're going to ride back with the armies of heaven, not to put our sword to the fight, but to stand and watch our God speak with the sword of his mouth and wipe out a whole valley full of soldiers. That's who we serve, folks. You say, preacher, what's going to happen next? Jesus, after taking down all his enemies, is going to set himself up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to rule for 1,000 years on the throne of David. And then, after he's ruled and reigned, and people that were born during the tribulation period have time to choose whether they want to be saved or lost, that millennial period will be over and eternity will begin. New heaven and a new earth. No more sun. Jesus will be the sun for eternity on our brightness. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm on the winning side. Is the news today the end of all things? Not for the Christian. If you're here today and you're saved and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, all the tragic things that are about to come on the face of this world, you're going to be caught out according to the Scripture. We use the term rapture, but the Bible uses the term caught out. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, I saw a window open in heaven. And I don't know about you, but for my life, the more I've studied the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what that day is going to be like. We're going to be caught away in the twinkling of an eye, but we are all going to see a window open in heaven. And all of a sudden, all this man that weighs me down is going to change in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm not going to weigh what I weigh now. I'm going to be light on my feet. And I'm just going to take off towards heaven. The Bible says on the way I'll be changed into his likeness. And I'll be forever with my Lord. Listen, if you're here today and you're saved, listen, all these things and the Iran bombing ought to get you excited that tomorrow Jesus could come. It ought not worry you about what's going to happen to the dollar. You ought to say, what should I do with my dollars while they're still worth something? It ought to make you, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? You ought to know what's going to happen. Jesus is coming. You ought to be telling other people what's going to happen to the lady that I always go and deposit my check that's on the other side of that counter that knows my name and I know her name every time I walk into the bank, but I've never told her about Jesus. Where's she going to spend eternity? Is she going to be here with her family starving to death while I'm eating at a banquet hall with Jesus? See, sometimes when we watch the news, we worry about what's going to happen to us. Folks, you ought to have some peace about yourself that you know where you're going. But what should upset you is where is everyone else that I care about going to spend eternity? What can I do to tell them? What can I do to share with them? What can I do to change that for them? What kind of witness can I be about what's coming in the future months and years? How about this? Listen, is this going to be the end of all things? Not if you're serving. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be caught up looking into heaven and standing there. Do you know so many people that believe like us become preppers and they go out on some mountainside and they wait for heaven to open and them to be called away? And I'm not saying we ought not be looking unto Jesus. I'm telling you today that we ought to be looking for others who need to look unto Jesus. I want to be caught up in the work. Wouldn't it be great? My life, I've heard a preacher say this when I was in Bible college, and I've held on to it. It would be the pleasure of every Christian's life to be the person who witnessed to the last soul that got saved. And the reason that Jesus came back was because, listen, the final soul got saved. You say, what's holding him back? It's not Iran. It's not America. It's not some next nuclear weapon. Sometimes we get in this process and thinking what is holding God back is one of these wars and rumors of wars. And all of that stuff has already happened. It's on the scene. He's not waiting on some country to change their name or to get into the fight. Jesus is waiting for the last soul that will be added to the church and has he knows is going to call upon his name to be saved. And when they are saved, he's going to say, go get your children. Go get your church. And Jesus will come and descend with a shout. And the church will be raptured out of this place. You say, preacher, why are you preaching like this today? Because listen, you know if you heard anything, you started to say, what's this mean? Is this the end? Are we heading towards it? Is this everything? No, listen, we should have already known this was the end. We should have already known that we should be about his business. We should already know that Jesus is the most important thing for everyone. Too many times we spend our lives worried about what's going to happen when I retire. What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? Listen, we could read the New Testament. I could tell what Jesus says to you. But he has already, listen, he has already promised to supply all your needs through his riches and glory. What he asked his disciples is to be about his business, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to say this. Lastly, is this the end of all things? Not if you're solid in your doctrine. Do you know one of the things that happens in this life, and especially for good Christians, we don't know what we believe. Today I've tried to give you an overview very quickly of what we take a whole semester and teach our Bible college students about when Jesus is coming again and each thing that's on the timeline, because I don't want you to be ignorant of what we believe as God's people, that Jesus is coming again. And that the man of sin, the Antichrist, will come on the scene. But I tried to give it to you in order because if you're not careful, somebody will knock on your door and say, hey, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And listen, they don't have the same story. You know what they're going to tell you? Everything's going to be all right. You know what can I tell you what the Muslims are telling people today? Our third Mahdi is going to show up. You know who that is? That's the Antichrist. Do you know what the Jew is trusting in today? That their Messiah is going to show up and save them for everything. And he is. The Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And in their worst moment, they're going to be calling out and begging and pain and suffering to the Messiah. And he's going to come. But he's not coming the first time. He's coming again. And they're going to look up and they're going to see him riding down. And they say, listen, this is our Savior. This is our King. This is the Messiah. And they say, where'd you get those holes in your hands? Where'd you get those holes in your feet? Where's that big gash in your side? Who did that to you? And he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. And every Jew is going to understand that that's Jesus. He's the one we hollered out, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. You read the New Testament and over again, they should have known that that was the Messiah. Can I tell you, Christian? Can I tell you, person that's in church today and maybe never accepted Jesus? You should know that that is the Savior. And you shouldn't have to know because Iran is being bombed and Israel is where they are. You should know because of the Bible, because it's been preached that the death, burial of Jesus Christ and his resurrection is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know what he even says? He covers everybody from the Jew and the Gentile. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, there's not one person from one people group that can't be saved in this room today. if you fall upon your face and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You just got to trust him. You say, preacher, I've heard about it. I'm just not sure. Well, you better get sure. Because is this the beginning of the end? Not for the saved. This is just the beginning. But if you're here and you're lost, this is the beginning of the end. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may think that I'm like a used car salesman trying to tell you, but you take this as a warning from a gospel preacher who loves you. If you don't get saved, it could be the beginning of the end for you. Because you've heard, listen, a clear presentation of the gospel, the Jesus that will come again is the Jesus of the Bible, who is the very Son of God, who descended from heaven and that was raised up as a child, 100% man and 100% God. He lived a perfect life, laid his life down. They did not take it from him. He laid it down for you and me and paid our sin debt, and he rose again in power. He went on high into a tabernacle not made with hands, and he made an atonement for my sin and for your sin and for the sins of the world with his own blood. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to call upon his name and to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. It would be a shame to realize where you are on the timeline of God and to not accept him as your Savior. If you're a Christian today, the message is to you, is this the beginning of the end? It is for all your friends that aren't saved. It is for your family that you won't witness to. It is for all those people that you care about, that you go around and deal with on a daily basis. They're at the bakery. They're at Publix. They're at the gas station. All the places that you frequent and you've never given them a tract, you've never given them a gospel witness, those people, this is the beginning of the end for them. We have no idea when the trumpet will sound, and it'll be our last opportunity to give them the gospel. You say, preacher, why are you preaching like this? Because I really believe. Here we are. Listen, I didn't take you to Luke 21, but I pray you'll go there and read it. Right in the middle of that passage of Scripture, I preached it before here. And if you didn't believe me the first time, go back and read it, because it makes a statement about when the beginning of the end will happen. And it marks the time period. And it says summer right in the middle of it. I don't know if you know where we are, but we're in summer. And if you don't think, oh, that's just a coincidence. Okay, one day it ain't going to be a coincidence. One season it ain't going to be a coincidence. Jesus will be on his way back and call us out of here. And I'm just going to tell you, we are at a place. You say, what should I do, preacher? I'd be a witness. I'd tell others. I'd get serving until he comes. And you say, well, what about, all of this is new to me. Then get solid on your doctrine. We could reference you books. We could give you tapes. You could take the whole book of Revelation. Pastors preached it or taught it through it many times. And have just listen to it and take time and understand what God tells us about his timeline in the future. But hold fast to the solidness of your doctrine until he comes. You say, should I run out and get a bunch of MREs? Or should I just go get all this? Should I stock up water and food? Not unless you're lost. Not unless your family's lost. Not unless you got people in your home that you think will not go when he calls. But if you're saved, can I remind you today, you're on the winning side. Jesus is coming again. There is no tribulation in your future. It's nothing but heaven. And with knowing that, we have a good place to tell others, hey, Jesus is coming again. This Suriname trip, you say, preacher, why are we going all over the place? Because this might be our last chance. Wouldn't it be something if the last soul that we needed to win was in Suriname? And our group goes and witnesses, and when we're all caught up together, we don't get caught up together from Florida. Some of our group's coming from Sandusky. Some of our group's coming from Suriname. And we'll meet together in the air, and we'll hear the testimony. There was a little girl, and she was just sitting there, and I asked her about where she was going to spend her eternity. And I shared with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. She bowed her head and her heart and accepted Jesus Christ, and I heard the trumpet. You say, preacher, it ain't going to happen like that. It'll happen for somebody like that. Say, why has it got to be a girl? It could be a boy. We witness to everybody, amen? Listen, today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come to Christ? If you're here and you're saved, and it's been a while since you shared the gospel with someone else, would you pick up some tracts today? Would you take a devotional? It has the gospel in it too. Say, hey, here's some things about the Bible. I know you're interested. Make sure to read that part in the back. It'll help you. Listen, I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. Is it the beginning of the end? It depends on what you've done with Jesus, what it is for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that today that would raise their hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up? Is there anybody like that today in the balcony, on the floor? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Listen, I don't see any hands, so that means every one of us in this building are saved. So who is it that you know that needs to be saved this morning? Maybe what we need to do as a church is come to the altar and pray for those that we know are lost and on their way to hell because their time is running out. We don't know how short it is, but we know it got shorter with all the things that are in the news. I'm going to pray. Would you stand to your feet? And if God has spoken to your heart, would you step out and come and meet us at the altar? If you need to be saved, we'll take the Bible and show you how. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray today that you just do a work that only you can do. If there's someone that needs to be saved, God, I pray that they'd step out, walk the aisle, and be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.